It's information is power if you just want words. Information is good if you just want to be educated. But what information isn't power. What power is transformation. See, information you get, I know. That's power. You know, I know things that you don't know. But in God, God says, I give you information that leads to transformation, because the purpose of information is not that you go, I know, but that I live it. So in your life, what you're missing, you're not, as a church, we're not missing information. What we're missing is transformation. Like today, I can teach you about healing, but Carmel doesn't want to know about healing. She wanted to experience healing. Right? A lot of people say, I know that God exists, but they don't experience Him. See, everything in God says, I don't want to inform you without transforming you. So today, I'm believing for transformation in your life, in my life, my family's life. Just lift up your hands with me for a moment. Father, as we put this next 30 minutes into your hands, and Father, we don't want to walk out educated. We want to walk out transformed. Father, we don't want just to talk about a food. We want to eat food. Father, we just don't want to talk about the presence without experiencing the presence. So Father, I pray today, let us go so deep into you that we get so saturated with you that we will know things that we have never thought we'd understood. We will experience what we have heard and seen in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. It is just so good to be here. You know, you may be seated. In the next couple of weeks, months, I'm going to prepare you for 2019. 2019 is only a month and a bit away. And you know what we do in the new year? We just sort of have one thing, but I want to prepare you for the vision that God has already given us and the goals that we're going to go for. Now, there's a part of Scripture that is absolutely amazing, that God does this. God always announces what He's going to do before He does it. That is why God will speak to you about prosperity when you're flat broke. That is why God speaks to you about a business deal when you can't even afford to buy a bowl of soup. And I always thought that God does that to frustrate you. But there's a principle in the Word of God that you announce before it happens. As Jess was saying, you know, we've just been, just before the meetings in Prague, I was on a step. And Jess was making fun of me. I was trying to do a slow-mo on my phone, right? So I am on a set of steps. There's this fountain. Jess is making fun of me. He goes, come on, Dad, see if you can do a slow-mo. So I'm there, and I twist my ankle. The thing is, I knew I was in problems, that all of a sudden, at the moment I twisted the ankle, it was like blood flushed out of me. I went totally white, started perspiring, and was dizzy. I had to sit down. My ankle starts throbbing, and I hear these voices. And so what I did was I announced to my ankle what was going to happen. I looked at my ankle and I looked at it and I'm going, I am in pain. I know I'm in trouble. But we're gonna walk and you're going to be okay. You either announce what you are feeling in the present or you announce what's going to happen. That's why God goes to a guy by the name of Abram and he says, you have no children, you have no heir, but I'm going to make you a father of nations. So he changes his name as an announcement to where he's going. Where you are at present is you or somebody else over your life has announced it and you're walking in it. You're very intentive. So in 2019, things are going to change in the church. Things are going to change in your life. Things are going to change in your marriage. Whatever you want changing, you need to make an announcement. It's very easy to go, hey, isn't it amazing? The church is really big, right? But there was a time when the church is small. Everybody, see, the people will rejoice over us one day thinking, wow, but we announced what's going to happen. You announce in your life. So wherever your life is now, you need to announce where you want it to be. So you are not subject to the circumstances that you are in now. So that's why God, when he spoke to Abraham, he said to Abraham, I'm going to change your name as an announcement what I am going to do in your life. So God has pronounced things over our lives, over our church, over your business, over your marriage. So you now need to come into agreement what has been announced. So 2019, things are going to change. Now, we're going to build this. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to give you a foundation of announcements. Now, I haven't got these scriptures on the overhead because you're going to take notes. I know some of you are going, what's that? Yeah. In Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So watch this. God has secrets. There are things that God says are mine. Now, one thing about secrets is this. Every time God says, I have secrets, that is an invitation to you and me to ask, well, what's underneath? So God doesn't keep things away from us. He gets us going, wow, okay, God, so what's the secret? Now watch this. So the Bible says there are secret things that belong to God, but those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of the Lord. Now watch this. This is Deuteronomy. This is after the blessing. So God says, when we start talking about the works of the law, understand this. The works of the law are not the works because now we are under grace, correct? But when you look at everything that was written, God says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. That's spoken over your life. And God says, I revealed my secret. What was the secret? That you are the tail, but I have initiated you to be the head. You are behind, but now I'm going to put you in front. You are broke, I am going to make you wealthy. So God here says, I have revealed things. So watch this. Anytime you open up the scripture and it is written, it is not there for you to rejoice, sing over, clap, or whatever. God does not do window shopping. What God does is exposure. So again, going what was said to, what Carmel came here to announce is that God has power over cancer. Now, but he wasn't just doing that for Carmel, but he was saying that to you. See, God doesn't bless a person individually and keeps it a secret. The reason he blessed Abraham so that you can understand that you are to be blessed. So anytime the Bible says the secret thing, so what does God do? He reveals a secret and he says, now it's no longer a secret. And it is not, revelation is not subject to a few. Revelation is subject to everybody. So you find that every time God wanted to do something, he goes to John the Baptist, make the pathway straight because I'm coming to bless. So anytime you read the word, it is for you. That is why it is a ridiculous question to ask God, God, do you want to heal? Because he's already said it. God, do you want me blessed? He's already said it. God, do you want me to have a promotion? God's already said it. See, when we start talking about a new year, or whatever you want to see in your tomorrow starts today. So God comes in and he says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, comes to a man, comes to a woman, and they start to write. The reason it is written down there, because God says, this belongs to you. People say things like this, you know, Ted, don't take things personally. Yeah, there are things you don't take personally, but when it comes to the Word of God, you've got to take it personally. It's going to become personal. This is not, God's not saying, Ted, I want to give you information about me. He says, every time I reveal something, that is what I want you to have. There are 8,850 promises in the Bible. Does God do that to frustrate you? Or does he go, hey, this is what's accessible if you will come into me? So for you, understand this now. What are you announcing in your reality? Now, your reality is real, but might not be true. The difference between fact and truth is this. Anything that can be changed is a fact. Truth can't be changed. You can't change truth. That means this. If you take a promise of God, it has to work in the poorest community in the world, and it has to work in the richest community in the world. If it doesn't work in there, it's not the truth. So when God says, writes the word, and he says this, the secret things belong to me, but what is revealed belongs to you and your children and your children's children. So once something is revealed, God doesn't take it back. So when God says, I will bless you, he doesn't go, I've changed my mind now, I'm going to pull it away. So within your life, your children's life, your business life, your personal life, your married life, whatever, what are you announcing? See, 2019 is coming. What are we going to announce? So Jesus comes in and he starts to say this, what I see my Father doing, what is a secret in heaven becomes exposed on earth. That's how you get heaven on earth. Something that is not accessible now becomes accessible. So you and I are designed by God to work on announcements. So every time God wanted to do something, he announced it. So what you do without you even knowing, you are announcing things into your life and into your future. What's interesting, because God's given us an opportunity to plant churches with the Roma people all over Europe, over 12 million people. How do you start? You start by announcing. See, when you say amen, you know what you say? Every time people go, Ted, you just want us to react. No, I don't want you to react. Every time you say amen, you come into agreement. And when you come into agreement, what was said now comes into you. Two people agree. Thank you. Now, you good? That is why, think about this. This is just a foundation. When God took the children of Israel first time, they opened their mouth, they got 10 spies came, they saw the promised land, they said, this is good, this is good, this is good. And guess what they did? They came up and 8 of them made an announcement. We can't do it. They are bigger than us. They are smarter than us. We can't do it. And guess what? People came into agreement. A whole generation was lost. What should have taken 40 days took 40 years. Why? Because they announced it. Why do you think God was angry with them? I used to think God's ticked off. Now, you know why God was ticked off? He goes, I wanted to bless you, but you don't have my blessing. The reason I am ticked off is because I wanted to bless you. You good? How do you rob God? You're a smart congregation because you're mine, okay? How do you rob God? That's a good question. The Bible says in Malachi, will a man rob God? How is this thing? How in the world do you rob God? Can you imagine sneaking into heaven and stealing an angel? Man, I just get into the Holy of Holies and I grabbed the gold. Now, you know how you rob God? By not letting him bless you. See, God says, I want you to give me the tithe. Why does... As a kid, I used to think that God was really broke. I remember my mum used to give me 20 cents to put in the offering. I go, gee, he's really broke if he needs my 20 cents. So I'm thinking the heaven is kind of on a low budget. I thought we're entering a poverty pack mission. But the reason I realized this, how do I rob God? God says, I want to bless you. When you give, you release my blessing. And what I want is I don't want your finance. I want to bless you. The way you rob God is by not letting him bless you. The way you rob God is by not going after promises. The way you rob God... I'm preaching really well. Thank you. So, you know what? Think about this, right? Why do you think God wants us to worship? Because God's got slow self-esteem. Seriously, God has, he has to have low, because he's got angels going 24-7. Holy, holy. Now, the reason being is when you worship, his presence touches your life and starts to shift things inside of you. How do you rob God? God says, I want to bless you, and we say no. Come on, parents. Sorry, I haven't seen you for 3 weeks. I'm just admiring you. See, you know, because when you start looking at Scripture, God says, don't rob me. So he says to the children of Israel, I am upset at you. It's because I wanted to bless you. He didn't. So what does he do the next time they're going to take Jericho? He says, I want you to march around, but I want you to zip it. Why did he say zip it? Because people were going to announce what they saw, what they felt. Look at the size of those walls. Flip. Man, those brickies went overtime. Wow, that's too big. Hey, have you ever seen anything? Nah. Have you ever been in a battle? Nah. Man, we're going to get slaughtered. So what does he do? He says, zip it. And I used to think, oh, that's because God just wanted silence. No, what God was saying to them is, what I want you to do, I've already declared it. And because I have already declared it, I don't want you to negate it. I don't want you to put a stop to it. Listen to me carefully. Jesus has already prayed for you. Let me tell you this. This wasn't Jesus' prayer. Father, I pray for these 11 ring-ins. They're not very bright. Some of them are fishermen. God, I just prayed that they just survive. Things are not going to be really good for them. Maybe just give them a little bit of pocket money. Just kind of look after them. They're going to have a really hard life, but just let them make it. I don't want them to be successful. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't want it to be successful because it will go to their heads. No. Do not bless them. Money is the root of all evil. Think about this. How did Jesus pray for his disciples? He says, Father, I want them to have exactly that I have. As you have blessed me, so I bless them. So when Jesus has already announced things over your life, so the announcement has already gone. So when Jesus was praying for you, he wasn't doing this. I prayed that I barely make it. I prayed, let them get a job but never get a promotion. I prayed that they will always have a poverty pack car. I had a poverty pack car. You can have it. Come on. Unless you believe that God has spoken well over you, you will not go for the well. So if you believe that you're supposed to have an average marriage, you will have an average marriage. If you believe you're supposed to barely make it, that's what you call into your life. With Abraham, he comes up to Abraham. Abraham, you cannot have a baby. Sarah is barren, but I am speaking fatherhood over you. And then he says this to Abraham, I don't need your help to make Sarah pregnant. All I need you to do is to come into agreement what was being spoken over you. That's all God wants. See, faith is the transfer action. Faith works like this, on a common line denominator. If you want a hamburger, what do? Dear Jesus, give me a hamburger. Burger. Now, what you do is you go into a restaurant or a shop and there's an exchange. I give you finance, you give me that. So you know what God says? I give you faith and I give you a promise. So what you do is you exchange the faith I gave you so that you can live in the promise. So we need, as a church, to come into the agreement on what he said. So there are times when we need to be quiet. The times that you need to be quiet is if you are struggling to be positive. We all struggle to be positive. You're running late. You're on the M1 car park. You've just paid your toll. It's going to cost you $20 one way, and you're in a car park. How many of you praise Jesus? I don't. I'm just going to flip. There are so many times I've come close to ringing up one of those talk shows and go, hi, my name's Ted. I've just paid $20 so I can sit in my car in public. I'm running late. Thank you very much, Mr. Premier. But see, that's why there are times that there is silence. What do you do in your silence? In your silence, you grab your thoughts together and you go, what kind of a future do I want? The only time that you are to be silent is when you are contemplating, when you are reaching into your future. I loved what Pastor Silva said the other week, and I wish I had said that. You can't go into your future without the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is never negative. The Holy Spirit will never shortchange you. The Holy Spirit will never lead you astray. The Holy Spirit always takes you up and never down. The Holy Spirit is always for promotion, not demotion. So if you are feeling negative, guess what? You're not pulling heaven down. You are pushing heaven up. You are robbing God. Let me give you an illustration like this, right? What it means by robbing God. Let's say, as a father, I go to Victor, and I got little kids, and I go, hey, Victor, guess what? I want to build my kids a cubby house. I really want to. I want to work at it. I want to make it like that. And Victor goes, yeah, that's great. And then you know what Victor does then? I go away on the holidays, and he comes in, and he builds my kids a cubby house. And he feels really good. Ooh, I built Ted a cubby house. No, he's just robbed me because I wanted to bless my kids. When you are not blessed, you're robbing God. My name's Ted. Now, look, it does take, this is what we're, see, that's when you know you're heading transformation, is when you start to feel uncomfortable. When you are uncomfortable in the presence of God, that means that there is something in there that's resisting. So when we start talking about finance, when we start talking how that God wants you blessed, if there is a resistance, it's not with God. They resisted Jesus. God says, I am going to give you houses that you didn't build. I'm going to go vineyards that you haven't done this. I am going to give it to you. And what did they do? They resisted it. One of the forms of resistance is, I don't feel worthy. Why would God want to bless me? See, it's not about you. It's about the promise. So when God says this, see, that God doesn't just do it. Ted, I'm just, AJ, I'm just going to bless you. Sulay, I'm not sure. When God says, I bless, it goes everywhere. See, what this is how it works. Oh, we're going to worship band if you'd like to come up. And this is only my intro. The word of God says in Isaiah that my word, this is God talking about himself, and this is my word, when it goes out of my mouth, it goes into the atmosphere. And it stays in the atmosphere until it has accomplished what I have sent it to. So this is how God works. God says, when I speak, the words do not disappear. Now, just watch carefully with me. So that in Proverbs, it says, never ever badmouth your boss. And I used to go, why wouldn't you want to badmouth? The Bible says that words will find wings, and the bad words that you have just said about your employee will find their way to the employer. How many of you want to take some words back? Dear Jesus, help me. See, you know, one of the things we think, right? Here's the scary, but we rejoice that we're made in the image of God. The only problem being made in the image of God, that we are like him, and when words come out of our mouth, the only way they can be negated is by God. So I don't want to scare you now, because some of you are going, I used to be really negative. Really, really negative. Ask my wife. She says, I believe in transformation. He's in me. But what we can do, and we'll do this a little bit, is that you can go, God, I want you to cut down every negative word that I have come into agreement with. You can do that. We're going to do that in a moment. But you see, what happens is this, is that because we're made in the image of God, the word goes out. So this is what the Father does. He says, so shall my word go out of my mouth, and it's not going to return void. So in other words, what he was saying there, whoever comes into agreement or speaks what I speak, then the word is there. That is why people in the New Testament are getting healed. The reason you can get healed, the reason my ankle is healed when I announced it, is because 2,000 years ago, my elder brother, Jesus, spoke on the behalf of my father, and he said, Fabianic, you are healed. He spoke the word. And all I did was take the word that was spoken and come into agreement. So in your life, right, today we need to do a couple of things. This is your project. Anytime the Holy Spirit brings back a negative word to you, do this. I reject that by Jesus' blood. Gone. We speak so many negative things over us. How many times have you looked in the mirror and you said, you loser. You'll never make it. It's called illegal conversations. I remember listening to Pastor Robert Morris, and he was really feeling bad one day, and he was going, "Oh yeah, I think my time's over. The church is over. I've done my time." So he starts talking like that until a prophet comes into him and says, listen, stop that. You're having an illegal conversation that I have not authorized. So let me just ask you this question then. The conversations you are having about yourself, the conversation you are having about the person sitting next to you, the conversation you are having about your boss, climate, is it authorized? If it's not authorized, it will not bring you a blessing. So what God says, that's why God says, read my scripture, come into agreement, speak what I speak. See, a lot of people go, I want to be like Jesus. Well, most people feel, they go, I want the feeling to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to speak like him. Jesus never, ever uttered a negative word. He's being crucified, and then he says this, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. But hold on, they do know what they're doing. They're putting him on the cross. But God says, but if I speak a negative word, they're gone. You need to announce into your future what has already gone forth. And God said, you're the head, not the tail. I didn't make it up, neither did you. I am going to be blessed. Why? Because the word of God says so. But what's so special about you? Tell me what's special about Ted. Jesus. That's what's special about me. See, that's why you don't have to be jealous. You know, somebody's coming, hey, we just bought a new house. Hey, I just got a promotion.
Right. You see, God has that.
The reason you don't have to be jealous, because the same promise that one person is enjoying is the same promise made to you. And I've got some really good news for you. There isn't one cake. See, in our thinking is that once you take a slice out, there's a slice missing. But the problem with that theory is that God says, I'm everlasting. That means you can never, ever empty me out. So look, for 2019, this is just a prep. Next week, we're going to go after miracles, okay? I've been away for 3 weeks, but God's been downloading for 3 weeks. I wanted to go on holidays, but he kept waking me up. So I said to him, no, I didn't. I said, thank you. Is this, you know what scared me once? And I'll finish on this. I've started keeping journals. I went to journals that I made 4 or 5 years ago, and I looked at my journal and I go, oh flip, how negative I was. But then I looked at others when I'm going, I was this, but I'm enjoying this, I'm enjoying that. I want for your life now. Now listen to me in this sense. Don't just do it for others, start with yourself. One of the things that I still think is incredible, I still get amazed at it, is you get on an airplane and it says, in the case of an emergency, that's supposed to make you feel good, over your head, oxygen mask, and they go, put it on yourself first so that you can help others. Let me just show you this. God never intended for you to bless others without you being blessed. God never says this, I want you to be a blessing, but you're not going to be blessed. God says, I want you to be a blessing. And when you're a blessing, out of the abundance shall come. Because of this, to be scriptural, it works like this. Peter and John come to the gate beautiful. And they go, silver and gold have I none, which is a wrong interpretation of the scripture, because they were Jewish. You never go to the synagogue without giving anything. But what they said is, such as I have. So you know what they did? Is they realized that such as I have received, I am able to give. I can't give you something I have not. So you need to be blessed. You need it. Oh, but I don't want to. Too bad. See, we give out of that. Or else, man, watch this. Ooh, I'm going to... Because if you're not blessed, you're passing on information, you're not passing life. So we've got churches, great information, terrible lives. You've got people talking about marriage and they hate each other. There's people giving advice on marriage and you go, married? No. Why aren't you married? I can't stand the opposite sex. He goes, I love my wife. From far away. So they're going to teach me about marriage. No, you want to teach me about marriage? Let me have a look at your marriage. Come on. If somebody comes up to you and says, listen, I failed in businesses 25 times. I am absolutely lousy at accounting. I can't do anything right, but I am going to teach you about business. So we send our kids to universities that come out educated, but they can't have a life. We do not want to have a church that gives something that they do not have and then gives information. That's why Jesus says, come and touch me. Touch me. Touch me. He made his disciples successful so that they could have success in ministry. That's why success never makes you, is you make success. Or otherwise you think it's always outside. So it's inside. It's very good. Your finger's okay. You've been doing that for quite a while. You might get the blessing disease. So right now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to negate every negative word. We're going to negate, first of all, the words that you've spoken about yourself. And then we're going to negate things that you've said about others. Now, don't shout it out aloud because the person next to you might be the, God, forgive me for what I said about my wife. No, she will hurt you. Why don't you stand with me? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, you, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, every negative word can be broken. Father, every negative word that we have said about ourselves can be broken. Father, every negative word that we have said about others and other things, God, can be broken because of the power of the blood. Because Jesus, you were punished for every negative word. When you went on the cross, you drew every word in the atmosphere. Every word that went out into the atmosphere from Adam to the last man that's going to be born before you come back. Every word that was spoken into the atmosphere, you drew it in yourself. You know, it's like Jesus was like this amazing vacuum cleaner that says, I am going into the atmosphere and I am sucking every negative word with its consequences into me. So I will pay the price so that you can be free from what has been spoken. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, we break every word that we have spoken that is illegitimate, that it doesn't line up with the word, that doesn't line up with heaven, that doesn't line up with our vision, doesn't line up with your prophecy over us. Father, break it. Father, from the time, from the first word until now, God, I receive your grace to break every word. I command right now every word to be broken. And now, Father, we're going to break words spoken over our lives. Can you all just look at me for a moment? Some of you are having difficulties and you've never known why. Sometimes, have you ever kind of gone to things, I don't know why I am like this, or I don't know why that never works, right? Some of you had words spoken over you and you don't even know it. You know, words like that, when I pray, nothing happens. God will not do that for you. Oh, you can't. So some, and we forget about those words and we get into it. I don't know why, but I believe today is the day that the Holy Ghost is here. Today is the day that he says, you don't even know what's been against you, but we're going to break it. Come on, lift up your hands. Father, in the authority of your word and because of the cross of Jesus Christ, Father, we break every word that has been spoken against us, over us. From the time we were in our mother's womb, things were said. We break it in Jesus' name. We break every word spoken by somebody in authority over you, teachers, parents, coaches. Father, in the name of Jesus, every word that has been spoken over our lives, we break it in Jesus' name. And now we're going to start to speak some blessings. What we're going to do is start to bless. Father, this is what I want you to do. You need to do this. Now, you know, sometimes, everyone, look at me again. I just want to coach you through this. There are times that, you know, we just do that, you know, praise God, in and God's presence is great. But there are times God says you need to make a noise. You need to make a noise. We need to make a noise. We need to have a noise of blessing over your life. You know what? Don't be intimidated by the person. If the person next to you doesn't want to get blessed, that's okay. Bless them anyway. But start to speak over your life, over your family, over your business, over our church. I am. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am blessed today. I am favored today. God is for me. My body is responding to the healing power of Jesus. My finances are turning around. My relationships are turning around. Father, all things work together for good. For me. For me. For me. I am blessed. I am favored. I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed when I sleep. I am blessed when I wake. I am blessed when I see. I am blessed when I eat. Father, I receive all the blessings of God. I receive the fullness of the cross. God, I am whole. I am forgiven. I am His righteousness. I am not who they say I am. I am who you say that I am. I will succeed. I will live and not die. I will be blessed. I will not go downhill. I am a prophetic. I am blessed. I am a word of knowledge. I am blessing. I am the answer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're here to announce that our future is bright. That the things we've lost are running after us. There are people here today, as we're talking, as we've been talking, we feel like, man, Ted, you know what? When I look back, I lost this. You know what I want you to start to say? The things that are lost are being chasing me down. Some of you have lost opportunities. Some of you... Okay, let me tell you exactly what I'm feeling right now. I feel like, you know, and I know for myself, I look at my past and I go, man, I was really stupid at that time. I missed that opportunity. I missed that. Oh, man, if I could only go back and fix it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I used to think like that all the time until today. This happened to me this morning. And God says, now I want you to see those opportunities bringing their friends and they're chasing after you. See, I was looking back and regret. But tell you what, the cross of Jesus Christ goes backwards to move you forwards. So what I want you to do this week, when you are tempted to see what you lost, I want you to picture, hey, this blessing is running after me. I lost that opportunity. But it's running after me. It's going to be like rugby. You know when somebody got the ball and everybody sees him and they go, ha-ha, get him! Because there's a church. Everything we lost is coming back. If you have been robbed in any way, just lift your hands. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, when we look back in our past, there's things that were robbed. Father, we were robbed of affection. We were robbed of fathering and mothering. We were robbed at school. Father, we were so many things and it's yelling at us. But Father, today, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, it's because of the amazing love of our Father that knows no bounds, that knows no temperature, that knows nothing but success. Father God, I thank you that the things that we have lost are running after us. Father God, we will look back and go, I am no longer crying for what I've lost. I am enjoying what I have gained. So Father, as we enter a brand new season, Father, it's a season that you will do us well all the days of our lives. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now what I want you to do for 30 seconds, We are going to give our Father who gave us Jesus, who shed His blood, who took all of our sins, all of our failures, all of our curses, all of our lack. We're going to give Him the most amazing faith life praise. I'm only going to give you 30 seconds because I've gone over time. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you, Father.